Well, right now we are joined in the studio by Phil Cohen. Phil Cohen has been a union organizer in the South. Got his start in 1979, right, in the Chapel Hill area. And in the spring of 1989, he was in Jackson, Tennessee, doing union organizing there. And he has just written a book that was published a few months ago by the University of Tennessee Press called The Jackson Project, War in the American Workplace, True Account of Workers in a West Tennessee Textile Mill Defending Themselves Against Union Busters and Management. Phil Cohen joins us here in the studio now. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good to be here, Aaron.
So before we start talking about the book, tell us about how you got started in union organizing, because this is a fascinating story, and it's right here in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, well, actually, I left home when I was 16. Suffice it to say, I didn't have much of a childhood. I did blue-collar work for 20 years, and I moved down to North Carolina in 1979 and ended up getting a job with Chapel Hill Transit, where they had a union local, ATU Local 1565, that unfortunately did not do a whole lot to actually represent workers. And within a year, I found myself chief steward of that local and implemented a program that really did aggressively represent the rights of workers. And in 1988, that led to my being hired by what was then called the Amalgamated Clothing and Textile Workers Union. For those of you who've seen the movie Norma Rae, same union, only my book kind of begins where that fantasy movie leaves off.
And it's now Workers United. So tell us about going to Tennessee. So the book just got published in July, but this is a true account of what happened in Jackson, Tennessee in 1989. So first of all, how did you get called to Jackson?
Okay, my job really from the beginning with the union was that of the union's troubleshooter. Mm-hmm. When there were union locals that were in a difficult situation, under attack from anti-union companies, sometimes deteriorating from within, I was sent in to turn things around, essentially get it done, no questions asked.
How often did that happen?
One assignment to the next. That was my job. And the reason I chose to write about the Jackson campaign is it was unique in several ways. During a one-year period, ownership of the mill changed hands three times. Hmm. And it went from an anti-union company to an extremely anti-union company to one of the most union-busting corporations in America. Mm. So each of those employers required different strategies on the union's part to deal with their tactics. So you really kind of get an overview of possible union organizing situations within that one year.
All right. And so you got there in 1989. At that point, what was the situation?
Situation was we had an anti-union company, and unfortunately, not very effective representation within the local. So in some ways, it kind of echoed the local I had come out of. Membership was down to about a third, and the plant was in transition. We knew the company was going to be bought, but the existing company was being very tight-lipped about by whom. And my job was to reorganize the local from within, shift the balance of power, so whatever came their way, we'd be ready to deal with it.
What was life like for the workers?
It's really difficult, no matter what I would sit here and say in a few sound bites, to convey to the average person in Chapel Hill what life is like for workers in a factory, any factory in this country. What we imagine is the inalienable rights of due process stop at the factory gates under the laws in this country. The health and safety conditions people are exposed to is just really something that you'd think, oh yeah, I'm sure that happens in Bangladesh, but not here. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this book in part really depicts that. Let's give you a couple of examples. When I got there, I mean, noting this was a union plant, but unfortunately not one that had been as well represented as it should have, which is why I was sent in. People in the weaving department, because this was a textile mill who wove the manufactured yarn into cloth, had to work 12 hours a day standing on their feet with no breaks. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine the toll on people. People were in other departments were having to push these really heavy buggies where the wheels were clogged with cotton dust. And like one out of three people was suffering from a serious ergonomic injury.
Mm-hmm. And probably respiratory injuries as well, right?
Actually, this plant wasn't as bad on the cotton dust violations as some others. Most of the issues in terms of health and safety were ergonomic. And then, of course, you got the wage and benefit issues. And when the new employer took over, they brought in, they were represented by one of the most notorious anti-union attorneys in America, and they came in looking to slash wages and benefits.
Mm-hmm. So speaking with Phil Cohen, again, longtime union organizer, got his start in that field in Chapel Hill, working for Chapel Hill Transit in the late 70s and early 80s. The book that he has written, which again got published earlier this year by University of Tennessee, is called The Jackson Project, War in the American Workplace. It's about 1989, the organization movement in the textile mill in Jackson, Tennessee, the textile factory. So without spoiling the story, the narrative, what can you tell us about what then took place when you got there?
Okay. Part of how I operated was I would identify, train, and develop, and ultimately get elected people who were really leaders of their community, people who wanted to represent their coworkers for the right reason. So with new leadership and in dealing with, you know, starting out nationally with a very rocky beginning with the new company, we eventually leveraged resolution of most of the serious issues workers were having. And I don't really want to talk through everything that happened in contract negotiations to spoil the book, but ultimately there's a takeover of the plant again by a company called United Foods that had a history of taking over distressed companies and busting the union. Mm-hmm. And what happened after that was very intense, very ugly, and about some people whose 30 years worth of work was on the line decided to come together and fight. And I'll add that, you know, the focus of this book, I'm not an ideologue. For me, working for the union was always about the people, because I am working people. You know, I'm not some college boy who decided to save the working people. I am working people. So that's the focus of the book, is really the human beings in Tennessee that I met and what they went through in their lives dealing with the situation.
It's a really fascinating book. The Jackson Project, War in the American Workplace is what it's called. Again, Tennessee Press published it back in July. It's available now. It's such an important story, I think, too, because it's not just the story of this particular action or this particular union or this particular factory, but this is how union, or this is how labor management relations can develop in any factory, in any working situation anywhere in the country. And for the last, 40, 50 years, there has been, or actually for the last 40, 50 years, there's been sort of a regression in the number of people who are unionized. Union movement has been under assault since before it got even started.
And that's true. And it's for two reasons. The largest factor accounting for the decline in union membership is the decline in America's industrial base. Mm-hmm. The free trade agreements are what killed the clothing and textile workers' union. We moved into other areas, logistics, service industries, to survive. But, you know, that plus the political climate in this country, like you said, this is an interesting little story that sums it all up. Picture's worth a thousand words. In the early 1990s, I was at a union conference. One of the guest speakers is an organizer in South Africa during apartheid. And afterwards, he's hobnobbing with the staff. And he says, I'll tell you something. I do not know how you guys do it here in the South, because if I had had to function under your laws, I never would have gotten to first base. Mm. And this is a union organizer in South Africa during apartheid.
Now, this is 1992, you were saying he was having this conversation. What is it like compared to today?
I've had employees in some of my plants who are from other African countries who say that the rights under law that African workers have in their countries is like 10 times better than they have here. Mm. It's 100 times better in Europe. So this is one of the most anti-union, anti-worker countries in the industrial. In fact, it is the most anti-union, anti-worker country in the industrialized world. And yet, astoundingly, you got working people voting for Donald Trump. Because the I don't really get lost in politics, but the fascinating thing on a human level to me about this country is your average working guy walking down the street, someone's walking up to them, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They read that person like a leopard in the jungle running into another animal. is this person a threat? What are they going to do? Are they crazy? Can I ignore them? But someone's running for office, all that common sense, all that street sense goes out the window. They can just get their emotional hot buttons pushed and vote in a way that's not only contrary to their own interests, but that of their family and their kids.
Speaking again with Phil Cohen, author of The Jackson Project, War on the American Workplace. If you want more information on the book, you can get it online, hardmilesmusic.com. Is Phil's website again, hardmilesmusic.com. And it's Hard Miles Music because you've got an album out as
that's correct. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I've released my fourth album with singer Patricia Ford concurrent with the book.
What do you do now?
I pretty much write and do music full-time, but I still do freelance work for the union. I still present cases in arbitration for the union. Did a case in arbitration back in May, a guy fired from PBI without due process, got his job back, 9 months of back pay, have another arbitration against one of our few remaining cotton mills, Springs Cotton in Rock Hill, South Carolina, coming up in February.
And as so important to really emphasize and drive home the fact that union membership is critical to workers' rights, and not just wages and benefits, but also working conditions and just basic things like that that we think people should take for granted and no one does and no one can.
Absolutely. And to me, the two most important words in a union contract are just cause, because they evoke a standard of due process where, in terms of discipline and discharge, in a non-union plant, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't like you, it doesn't matter whether or not you can prove your innocence. Under a union contract, the same due process that would apply if you were accused of something in criminal court applies in the workplace. So a company doesn't like somebody, they fire them, but cannot prove they committed the offense or let somebody else skate with a write-up for the same offense, you can legally force the company to return that person to work and pay their back wages. And that due process not only protects people who are disciplined, it means that people get to be treated with respect. It means you, if I can say this on the radio, don't have to kiss butt in order to keep your job, because as long as you're doing your job, you're protected by the due process in the union contract.
HardMilesMusic.com is the website if you want more information about the book. Phil, before we let you go, and I know you've got another thing you want to say too, but last question. People who are listening out there who care about organizing, who care about unions, who care about the labor movement, who care about workers, who care about jobs, what's the first thing that they should do?
If they're serious about wanting to have a union, there's some things you really can't do on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And having unions, one of them, simply because it takes resources and organization and expertise. So they should identify which union represents in their sector and sort of contact the regional or the district office and say, we're interested in having a union. And I wanted to also point out that there's some really good deals for the book on Amazon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And locally, I mean, you can walk into any brick and mortar store and if the book's not available, order it. But I know that Barnes & Noble up in New Hope Commons has some in stock because I recently did a book signing there.
Awesome. So Barnes & Noble, HardMilesMusic.com, Amazon.com if you want to order it online. Go to HardMilesMusic.com because you can read an excerpt from the book and get more information on those four albums that Phil's done with Patricia Ford. A lot more information on that website as well. So go there one way or the other. Phil Cohen, I got to let you go. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming by.
And it's been my pleasure as well. Thank you, Aaron.